chapter 8, verse 1. Some of my favorite verses. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, really talking about what I was just talking about. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. There's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Now, it doesn't just stop there, because if it just stopped there, that's way too open-ended. There's some qualifications here. There's some things that we have to do. And that's what I'm going to be talking about this morning, is what do we have to do, hallelujah, to live the life of Christ, to live like Jesus lived. How did he live? Again, victorious over sin, over the devil, over death. So, let's see what it says. There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. How many are in Christ Jesus this morning? You've been born again, accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. You've surrendered your whole life to Jesus Christ. This is talking to you, all right? This is so important. To those that are in Christ Jesus, there is therefore now no condemnation who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Walk implies a habit, a lifestyle of living and pursuing the things of God, letting Jesus be Lord of your life and pursuing his will for your life, not just your will, his will. Not living to the lust of the flesh, but living unto pleasing your heavenly Father every day. All right, so these are the ones that have no condemnation, right? See, the devil's always going to come along, bring guilt and condemnation, shame, and that'll keep you in a place of ultimately sin. It'll keep you in domination by the devil because you condemn yourself, and that just leads to more sin. It doesn't set you free from sin to be in condemnation. So thank God there is no condemnation to those who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Then it says, verse 2, 4, which means because the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free, has set you free from the law of sin and death. This is why. Because he set us free from the law of sin and death. This is how there's no condemnation for your life. You have been set free. Don't see it as something you're trying to get to. You're trying to obtain. You're already free from the power of sin. Do you believe that? I'm not talking about your experiences. I'm talking about what the Word says. Do you believe the Bible? You've already been set free from all the power of sin and the devil and the grave and all these things. But in particular, we're free from the law of sin and death. The power of sin and the power of death over our lives. So we understand Jesus died on a cross and he took our place. His blood was shed. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. But his blood was shed for you, for me. And so what did this mean? Well, if you know the time where Jesus died, that big old veil was cut in two, right? The Holy of Holies was now accessible by mankind because of the pure blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for you and for me. So, in the Old Testament, they were not clean. They never got clean. They just sacrificed animals as an atonement, as a temporary thing until Jesus showed up. And he was the real Lamb of God that was slain for you and for me. He took our place on that cross, taking the penalty that we deserved, taking the brunt of God's wrath upon his own body, upon his own spirit and soul, and receive what we deserved, which was death, right? So, and of course, the good news is he rose again the third day, proving he is victorious over sin, over death. God accepted the sacrifice. That's what the resurrection means. The sacrifice was accepted in heaven. Hallelujah. Now we are free from the power of sin and death. So in the Old Testament, they could never, ever really be clean. It was impossible. Again, they tried to keep the law. They couldn't keep the law. They did these animal sacrifices as a temporary measure, a stopgap measure, until Jesus showed up. But now the temple veil has been torn, meaning we all have access to the Holy of Holies. Every single one of you in Christ has access now to God. Nobody could go to heaven before Jesus died on the cross. It was impossible. Jesus had to die, of course. And men were put into like a holding place until Jesus showed up. And then when Jesus showed up, he took captivity captive, meaning he took all those people in that holding place and presented them before God, and they all could go to heaven. And of course, when we pass, we die, we also get to go to heaven. All right? So we understand that's the cross. And this is the good news. Thank God he took our place. But I'm not just talking about what's going to happen in the future. I'm talking about now we are to live victorious over sin. Now. And I'll get into it. There's so many scriptures I want to show you guys. So I'm going to start off in Colossians 3:3. It says, "For you are dead. You are dead. And your life is hid with Christ in God." Okay. Again, this is one of the contradictions in Christianity, or some people call it a paradox. You're dead, and yet you're life. You're dead, yet you have life. It's like, well, which is it? Well, it's both, okay? And so we got to understand, we got to think spiritually. Spiritually, your old man is dead. That's what Romans 6:6 says. It says, "For knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him." So when Jesus died on the cross, your old man was there nailed to that cross, right? Your old spiritual nature, your old you is dead, gone forever. Okay? That's a spiritual statement talking about your spirit. Your old man is dead. Thank God for that. All right? Thank God. So you are dead, yet you're alive, right? So, "For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." What does that mean? Well, your old man is dead, but yet now a new man is alive. And I'm going to be talking about living, letting Christ live through you. Who is this new man? I'm talking about the new man is what God has done in you. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things have all passed away. You're a whole new creation. God did something new. He created something new when he created you and you became born again. You're a whole new creation. The new man is alive. All right? And so understand, I'm going to give you some things if you want to take notes or write some stuff down. Understand that your old man is dead, but yet there's also three things that were dead too. All right? Old man is dead, but I'm going to give you a list of three things. Number one, you're dead to sin. Romans 6:2 says this, "God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin," not going to be, we are dead to sin, "live any longer therein." So number one, you're dead to sin. Number two, you're dead to approaching God through the law. Galatians 2:19 says this, "For I, through the law, am dead to the law." Okay, "that I might live unto God." So one, we're dead to sin. Number two, we're dead to trying to approach God through law keeping, through good works, or trying to not sin, or you know, all the outward things. We're dead from trying to approach God and to please God from all the outward things that we're doing. We could never do that. We could never please God by these outward acts, the things that we do. Okay? It has to be Christ alone that saved us, not our good works, lest any man should boast. See, we could boast if we did some good things, and that's what a lot of people believe. Well, if we have faith and we do good works, that's what pleases God. No, your good works are like filthy rags, okay? We cannot please God by law-keeping or by doing good works, you know, making a checklist of all the stuff I've done. You know, that is never accepted. So we're dead, number one, to sin. Number two, we're dead to trying to approach God by law keeping. And we're also, number three, dead to the rudiments of this world. That's what it says in Colossians 2:20. "Wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world." Well, what is the rudiments of the world? We don't use that word very much unless you're a drummer. It is ceremonialism, okay? Trying to keep ceremonies. Ceremonies don't please God. The prohibition of food and drink. Well, don't eat this and don't eat that. That's not what pleases God. It isn't about trying to keep certain days, religious days, and this is what pleases God. No, we are dead to that. required washings, asceticism. Asceticism means like you beat yourself up. You take a vow of poverty and you fast all the time. These things are not what pleases God. These are not the things that save us. From pagan symbolic mysteries like horoscopes, crystals, and Wicca, these are not the things that please God. And initiatory rites, I'm talking about what is rudimentary things, the things we're dead to, the rudimentary things of this world. So initiatory rites includes things like Freemasonry. We're dead to all of that. We don't approach God by any of these things, right? So we're dead to sin. We're dead to trying to please God and approach God based on law. And we're dead to the rudiments of this world, all right? So again, this is that paradox. You're dead, but yet you're alive. Your old man is dead, and yet the new man, Christ Jesus, literally comes in you. Christ is in you, the hope of glory. The Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ is what it's called. He's called. He's in us, and he's to be living through us, right? So we are alive from the dead. That's what, you know, water baptism represents. You don't get saved by water baptism, but it represents your salvation. The old man goes down, and the new man that was newly created in Christ comes out of the grave and starts living the resurrected life, starts living the life of Christ, the life victorious over sin, where before we couldn't have any victory over sin. We were dominated by sin. We had no power, but now we have a new power source. Amen. We have the Holy Spirit to help us live daily victorious over all the power of sin. So I'm just going down Colossians chapter 3. The next verse is Colossians 3, 4. When Christ, who is our life, that's the new life now that's in us, Christ is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with him in glory. So Jesus is coming back again. And when he appears in the sky, he's going to rapture his church, and we're going to appear with him in glory. And it says, you know, when he comes back again, we'll be made like him. In other words, what God has been doing in you, which is kind of unseen, it's in your spirit, it's in your heart, it's in your mind, all these changes that have been taking place on the inside are going to show up on the outside. And everybody will see the glory of God, that God has been working in your life. We can't see it now. It's veiled by our flesh. I can't see where you are spiritually. You can't see where I am spiritually. But one day, it's going to show up, and God's going to get the glory. Jesus is going to get the glory for all the good things that he's been working in your life, because it's going to be visible on the outside. So that's when he appears. Just like what's happened on the inside is one day going to show up on the outside, in other words. But then let's keep going. Verse 5 says this. I'm still in Colossians 3, verse 5. And this is what I'm focusing on, okay? Our old man is dead, but now what? What do we do? Well, this is what Paul says. This is what the Holy Ghost is saying. Verse 5, mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. What does mortify? It means to put to death the members that are on the earth. So he's talking about something that is natural, that is on the earth. Your members that are on the earth. And then he talks about fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affections, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. This is your part. See, Jesus did the heavy lifting for us. He did the hard part. Our old man, he was crucified there on the cross. That's forever. Your old man is dead. You're a new creation. He recreated you. This is all stuff you couldn't have done. But there is something that you can do, which is put to death the members on the earth. And by the fact that he told you to do it means you can do it. You can mortify or put to death the members on this earth. Well, what does that mean? Well, we'll get into it. But understand this. He gives a list here. What is fornication? That means any sexual sin, really adultery, incest, any type of sexual sin, perversion. Uncleanness is both physical uncleanness, moral uncleanness. Inordinate affections is talking about your ungodly passions, depraved passions, evil concupiscence, what a word. It just means wicked cravings, okay? Evil, wicked cravings. Covetousness is also cravings, their ungodly lust, ungodly desires. We have something to do. Do you understand that? That's what I'm talking about. God did the heavy lifting, but there's still something we must do. Mortify, put to death these things. Idolatry, which is the worship of false gods, the worship of money. All right. So understand that this is something we are to do, and you cannot be passive about it. The devil will destroy you if you just say, well, okay, God did everything. I'm just going to live life, you know. No, there is something you must be very active in, putting down the lust of the flesh. You see, this is where it all started, was back in that garden, the lust of the flesh, you know, talking about the tree, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. It's all right there. All sins could be kind of combined into those three categories, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. And we all, Adam and Eve failed, and guess what? We all failed too, right? Every single one of us. But now, in Christ Jesus, we can become victorious over every lust of the flesh, every lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. In Christ Jesus, we are victorious over sin. So it's not something we do passively. It's not going to happen automatically, any more than if you have, you know, anybody do any gardening. You have to actively work. You have to actively pull the weeds out of the garden, or the weeds will overtake your garden. Everything you don't want will fill your garden. And if you don't actively put down the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, that's going to take over your life. And you'll just live just like anyone in the world. So we have to make the active choice. Yes, I want to mortify the deeds of my flesh. I want to put them down, put them to death. And again, I just remind you, God wouldn't tell you to do it if you couldn't do it. But it's not done in your strength. It's done by the power of the Holy Spirit helping you. It's called grace. And grace from God is always free. You don't earn it. So God, help me do it, right? You ask, you humble yourself, and he gives more grace. This is the key to living victorious over sin, is humbling yourself. Humble yourself under the hand of God. He will give you more grace to live victorious over sin, over the devil, and all the stuff of this world. It's humility, and you get the grace. You get the power of the Holy Spirit. I like to say it. You get empowered by the Holy Spirit to live a victorious life over sin. See, it's great that you're forgiven of sin, but that doesn't really deal with the problem. The problem is me. The problem is something in me that is rebellion against God. And unless that is dealt with, forgiveness is not enough. I'm still on my way to hell. See, but now I've become a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. That's talking about my old spiritual nature of sin and death is gone, but I still have flesh. People don't understand the difference between your old man and your flesh. You still, when I got born again, my old man is gone, forever gone. But I still got flesh, right? That didn't change. And the nature of the flesh never changed. But that's the part that we're putting on the cross. So Jesus, when he went on the cross, put our old man on the cross, our old spiritual nature, which is also sin and death. He did that part. But now I have to put something else on the cross. I have to mortify, put to death, put on the cross the deeds of the flesh, the nature of the flesh, the lust of the flesh, of the eyes, and the pride of life. It says in Romans 8:13, for if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, in other words, do what? Mortify. Put to death the deeds of the flesh, you shall live. So it's by the power of God's Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Galatians 5:24 says this, they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lusts. Again, how many's in Christ? Hopefully all y'all are here. If not, get born again. You need to get born again. But the rest of us, we understand this is talking to us. Everyone that's born again in Christ Jesus have and are continuing to crucify the flesh. Your flesh never stops being the flesh. It never changes its nature. It always wants to be selfish and do evil and do wrong and walk in lusts of flesh and lust of the eyes and pride. Its nature never changes. It cannot be reformed. The flesh nature never changes. The only thing that the flesh can do is die. And that is the decree of God. The flesh must die, and we have to choose to die. You can't reform it. You can't try to make it a little better. I'll just work on it and try to make it. It's impossible. The decree for God for the flesh is mortify it. Put it to death. Okay? Every lust of the flesh, every lust of the eyes, all the pride of life, there's only one thing that'll work, and that is death. Crucify it. It's the only thing that works. Hallelujah. This is our daily life. Daily, carrying our cross, putting the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life on that cross every single day. This is a victorious life. This is the life that a Christian is supposed to live. This is the normal Christian life, is daily putting down those things that my flesh wants to do and obeying God and doing those things that the Spirit of God is telling me to do, that the Word of God is telling me to do. 1 Corinthians 9:27, but I keep my body under. This is Paul, the great apostle Paul. What does he say? He says, I keep my body under and bring it into subjection. It is to be subject to me. I am not subject to it any longer. As a sinner, I was subject to the lust of my flesh. I pretty much had no choice. Like an addict has no choice. They have to keep going back to the drug. That's the way we were as sinners. But Paul says, I keep my body under now. Bring it unto subjection, lest by any means, when I preach to others, I have become a castaway. So there's a place where the weeds take over. And Paul's saying, I don't want to go there. I want to be fruitful. I want to every day pull the weeds and every day have the fruit come up. So it's a choice. Again, we're talking about God's part was mortifying or putting to death the old man. He did the heavy lifting, but our part is to daily go to the cross, lay our flesh on that cross, nail it there every single day and say, God, your will be done, not mine. Not my will be done. All right, I'm going to drop down to Colossians 3, verse 10. And we have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. So now we're crucifying the flesh, and now the new man rises up. It's the image of Christ Jesus that rises in our life so that we look like him, we talk like him, we think like him. We're not putting on a show. We actually start to think biblically. We start to think like the Word. We start to reason like God's Word teaches us. Thinking spiritually, not carnally. We have to put on the new man. Galatians 2:26, one of my favorite verses, not 2:26, 2:16. This is the key to the book of Galatians, by the way. If Galatians could be put into one verse, this is the central verse, Galatians 2:16. Paul said this, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of or faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no man shall be justified. All right, a lot of words. How are we justified? Well, we know it's by faith. God's grace gave us the free gift of eternal life. It's free. It's Jesus. He gave Jesus freely. But how do we receive Jesus? It's by faith. Well, this is the same way that we live victorious. It's not by trying to do good works. It's not trying to be a good person. It's not restricting yourself and beating yourself up and condemning yourself. No, we continue to have faith that God is working in me. God is still, by his Holy Spirit, sanctifying us, making us holy, cleansing us daily as we walk. Going back to where we started, Romans 8, verses 1 and 2. Walk not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. It is a walk. It is a habit. It is a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle that I choose to live. Hallelujah. And it says, as we walk this lifestyle, he cleanses us. It says in 1 John, walking in the light as he is in the light. And you're constantly cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. You're constantly clean. You're constantly free from the power of the devil. What good news. Glory to God. We're always free in Christ Jesus. If you choose to walk after the flesh, there is no condemnation. The devil cannot touch you with condemnation and shame and guilt because you say, I choose Jesus today. And you wake up every day and do the same thing. I choose Jesus today. I choose letting him direct my life and not give in to what my flesh wants to do, because your flesh will always lead you towards sin. The flesh is at enmity against the will of the Father. Always it wants to do the opposite of whatever God wants to do. All right. So again, it cannot be redeemed. It can only be killed. It can only be mortified. It can only be put to death. And that is our choice every day to put it on that cross. Hallelujah. It says, so it talks about in Galatians, we're free from the works of the law. What are the works of the law? It is any rule, command, or law that a person observes in an attempt to be right in right standing with God. In other words, the works of the law are righteousness that's produced from yourself, belonging to oneself, offering to God as a means of meeting God's standard for acceptance. You'll never be accepted by God by the good things you do, all the works, your lack of sin. That's not how you're accepted by God. It's by Christ Jesus alone. Faith in what he did on the cross, the finished work of the cross alone, is the only thing that makes you received or accepted by God. So we don't approach God by good works. We approach him by faith and his grace, his ability. And so again, that's also the same way that we live victorious. I have faith that your Holy Spirit is working in me, Lord God. I have faith that your grace is sufficient. It's enough for me to live victorious. And I choose Jesus. I choose faith. I choose the power of God. And I thank God constantly that it is working in me. Hallelujah. The Bible says what he has begun in you, he will complete. Hallelujah. But you still have to keep pressing in. You can't be passive. You have to be actively cutting off those roots that try to grow up and choke the life of God, that try to bring you back into sin, into temptation. We've been given the Word of God. We've been given the Spirit of God. We know right from wrong. We know those things that are coming up, and we let them linger too long until they grow up and become a stronghold, and we become unfruitful. And then, worst case, we find ourselves living in sin, where the devil has control, has power in our life again. We've given the devil a voice. I always liken it to we've allowed the snake to come into our bed. How many want to sleep with a snake? We don't like that. No, most people couldn't handle that. I know I don't. So we've allowed something to come into our home, into our bed, that is killing us, that is out to murder us, to destroy our lives. And so we have to stop it early. We have to recognize, no, that's the flesh. That's evil. I don't want it in my life. And cut those weeds out early. Cut the snake's head off early. All right. So we're talking about the grace of God that's available to us. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, we talk about grace. It's God's goodness. It's God's favor. But it's also God's power. And the Bible says we've been justified. It's by grace. It's a free gift God gave you. And God made it just, you know, justified. We say just as if you had never sinned. Thank God for the blood. Just as if you had never sinned. And it's all free. It's all not something I'm trying to get, trying to obtain. It's already yours. You just receive it by faith. Faith in the finished work of the cross. God, I thank you that you have already set me free. I would declare that regularly. Thank you that I am free from the power of sin, the power of the devil. I am no longer under condemnation. I am no longer under guilt and shame. You know, the cross is far greater than the power of sin. I have faith in the cross, not in my sin. I know that God's grace and God's power in the power of the cross is far greater than any and all my sins combined. In fact, all the sins of all the world were dealt with at the cross. For those that believe, they can receive it. Hallelujah. What is it? It is Christ in us. Christ in me. Get a revelation of that. It is to be Christ living in you. To be living our very nature of Christ living in us is a life of holiness, a life of righteousness, a life of love. Christ living in you, living through you. Hallelujah. It's our choice every day to mortify, to put to death the deeds of the flesh. And again, it is a life of faith. That's why we're called to live by faith, to walk by faith. It all happens by faith and not our good works. When you say, oh, look at all this good stuff I've done. I've gone to church and I've paid my tithe. And you start patting yourself on the back. Woe unto you. You're headed for a fall. That's what the devil's waiting for, is for you to trust in yourself. That's self-righteousness instead of Christ righteousness. Don't pat yourself on the back. Just say, it's only because of you that I do this or I do that. It's a reliance and a humbleness, a humility, I should say, a humility, because you recognize anything good that comes out of my life is because of Christ working in me. Hallelujah. And not me. Amen. Glory to God. And I'll close with this one verse. Sin shall not have dominion over you. That's Romans 6:14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. You are to be victorious over sin. Sin shall have no dominion over your life. That is the way we're all supposed to be living. And we all can live that way now. We're now not bound like we were before we became born again. We're now free in Christ. We've sung the songs this morning. We're free. We're free. Do you believe that? Right? We are. That's the good news. It's not just that you've been forgiven, but you've been completely been made free from sin and the devil and death. Glory to God. What good news. Hallelujah. We're dead. Our old man is dead. We're dead to sins. We're dead to trying to approach God through law. And we're dead to the rudiments of this world. But we're alive. Christ lives in me. Christ lives in you. In the life that we now live in the flesh, we live by the faith of the Son of God. It is Christ living in us. Hallelujah. That is now showing up. And one day we'll see him in the clouds. And what is in us will actually show up on the outside. The glory of God. The Bible talks about in Daniel that some will shine like the stars in heaven because of what God did in us. And I want that to be me. Amen. What about you? Praise God. Give God glory this morning. We'll close in prayer. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord God, for sending Jesus to die on that cross for us. And of course, he rose again the third day because the sacrifice was accepted. We thank you for forgiving us of our sins, but we thank you for making us new creatures in Christ. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. We thank you that we are free from sin. We are free from the dominion of sin, the power of sin, the penalty of sin in Christ Jesus. We are no longer slaves, but we can now live free as we choose to put to death the flesh, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That is our choice, and we do it by your Holy Spirit. We thank you for the work of the Holy Spirit in us, in Jesus' holy name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Taylor. Thank you. Amen. That was a very timely word. You know, sometimes when the true gospel is preached, it seems a little bit too good to be true. You know, like, how can such a God give us so much? His Son, his Spirit, life, so much. It just seems too good to be true. So we thank God for that word. And I just pray that, you know, that you've been blessed and that you have an ear to hear and to practice what you just heard. So real quick, a couple of announcements. If you haven't given, please go ahead and do so now. We need your support. As you can see, my lovely screen over here to the right, not working. So we are trying to get that fixed soon. So far, we've raised $3,000 and the goal is $11,000. So if you feel led to, please go ahead and help us out with that. And you can do so by text to give. And the keyword is projectors with an S. And last but not least, we have no Bible class on November 6th. So that is next Wednesday, right? So not this Wednesday, but the next one, because that's when the screen is going to begin fixed. And last but not least, next Sunday, of course, is fall back. So please don't forget to, you know, set your clock back 1 hour, because if you don't, you will be here early. So yeah, do that. All right, guys, please rise up real quick, and I will dismiss us with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the free gift that is your Son. We thank you for the free gift that is also the Holy Spirit. Lord, we have been given such a gift that we truly cannot pay it back, Lord. So, Father, our reasonable service is to simply love you and to love those that you've placed in our life. So, Father, help us to walk in this truth, Lord. Help us to put to death, Lord, the deeds of the flesh. Help us to know that, Lord, grace is not just something that we go to, Father, once we sin, but Lord, grace is a weapon, Lord, that can stop us from sinning. So, Father, help us to walk in this truth, Lord, knowing that we have all the tools, all the strength, all the power that we need in you, Lord. Father, we love you, and we give you all the praise and all the glory. Amen. All right, love you guys. See you guys on Wednesday.